being more patient. Channel 7. Okay, great.
Okay, welcome to the NIST seminar, and today's talk is on the overview of blockchain and
cryptocurrencies.
We have a new PhD student here. He's called Dimitro, or he has changed his avatar appearance in the room and is represented with Marius. So please, Marius, the floor is yours. Is there time for questions and discussions towards the end, or are you going to talk for 45 minutes?
No, it should be. Should be some
questions
time,
at
yeah.
the end. Okay. Hopefully. You want the questions as you talk, or?
Sure. So if there are some questions during the talk, I like it to be interactive, so you can ask.
I think we also have a following on Stewart's tradition. We have a little prize for the best question.
Okay, my apologies for the screen disalignment. It's okay on my laptop. It's widescreen, but maybe some bits will be cut on the right-hand side. I've been asked to give that talk in a kind of ad hoc fashion yesterday. So the student went for a blockchain meeting yesterday, and he is sleeping now because he traveled overnight. So I'm here instead of him. So I will talk about two things. So the talk is kind of divided into two mini talks. The first talk is about his work and what we're doing with the cryptocurrencies and scalability and off-chain transactions. And then the second quick talk will be about nefarious use of the blockchain's cryptocurrencies. So I'll kind of talk a little bit about what the recent Europol report talks about in the context of misuse of cryptocurrencies. So how many of you know what blockchain is?
Yeah, good, everybody. And Bitcoin, everybody's heard about it. So this is a kind of a very schematic depiction of the blockchain. So you have blocks which are linked, and they form a chain. That's where the name comes from, right? How many of you know what this data structure is? It's a tree of hashes. Yeah. So the hash tree, and the hash tree has a special name, it's called Merkle tree, right? So Merkle was the person who invented it, and the property of a Merkle tree is that you can validate the entire tree by checking the final single hash, right? Because each individual hashes are then hashed, and then those are hashed. And then if the hashing fails at some point, the final hash doesn't match the process, right? So to validate the entire tree, no matter how big it is, you just need a single hash, right? So effectively, a blockchain is a giant tree which is validated by the root of the tree, the initial transaction, which kind of spreads over to all the transactions which happen in the world, right? Look at the blockchain, if you unfold the chain, what you will see is a single hash at the very beginning, followed by branching process, like this, where all those individual transactions happening at the end of the leaves are kind of making sure that they are valid. And to make sure that they are valid, they have to validate all the way to the original original node. So what, you know, what's so fancy about it? Well, the first thing is that it's decentralized. That you can keep that data structure across multiple computers, and they all don't need to trust each other. They just need to make sure that the hashes kind of match. And then you can't manipulate it. So once certain transaction is recorded in this kind of database, then nobody can modify it. Nobody can change it without other parties know. So there are three stakeholders in the blockchain. There are kind of end users, there are miners, and there are validating nodes. So what is mining? Well, we have to make sure that the blocks which are accepted as the valid ones have, it's not easy to generate them because then people try to abuse the system. We will try to propose blocks which are invalid, and then the proof, the burden of proof will be on the people validating it, right? So to make this kind of tool around, in Bitcoin, they use kind of a mining process which makes sure that the people who are generating the block, they invested enough time that the validation is cheaper and faster to do the generation of the block. So then if people don't have incentives to kind of cheat on the block generation. And how we do that? We do this by having a kind of a puzzle to solve. So we have for each of the blocks that we're generating, and for each of the new blocks that the miner is generating, you have to hash all the block data plus a nonce. And you can manipulate the nonce to generate a hash with certain properties. And the difficulty is to generate a hash with as many zeros as possible by randomly looking for the nouns which fits that particular pattern, right? The process is basically brute force guessing. So you keep iterating over the nouns until you hit the particular difficulty, until you hit a particular hash with certain zeros, and then you can punch. Yep, so that's about mining. And then once the block is mined, it's published to the network, and then the network nodes check it and say, yeah, it's good, it can become the next block of the blockchain, and it's kind of a tool. So there is no need for a trusted third party, the consensus is kind of done in a distributed fashion, and there is no enforcement. So the enforcement is done by just nodes running the entire software and voting on who and who is not a valid block. Yep.
So I'm supposed to repeat the question. Hello, hello. So in terms of the computational model, you keep saying hashing, right? I'm seeing the tree. It seemed to me obvious that a parallel processing computational model would be more efficient for the mining than.
Thank you.
Can we talk about the fees? I'm always interested in money. I want to hear the word money. So in terms of the miners and the others, how is that divided up? I mean, who's making the money? Is it the miners? Right. The last one I want. Then in terms of this decentralization, centralization, as the ASIC and the things go, the miners that are specialized will obviously centralize to specialized hardware and take over the market. So it won't, in the long run, be centralized versus decentralized.
The 0.05 Bitcoin fee, is that a fixed fee or does it vary? What's the longest that a miner has done a confirmation, and are there still like outstanding transactions because the fee put forth is too low for any miner to be interested? So if I paid for something using a transaction, but I choose a low enough fee so that the transaction will be stale, what's to prevent me from paying for services when I know the transaction will be stale and then be voided?
Thank you.
And that cashing in is also the validation, correct?
And the cashing in is also the validation. Although the validation is what I will do first, right? So when I make the transaction, you will validate that this is a real transaction, correct?
No, but this is process, right? So batch processing. You're doing batch processing.
So now, we can do the batch processing back and forth. You will just say,
you just paid Stuart half a Bitcoin. What if you pay the same half a Bitcoin to me and I cash in first? He just checked that everything is okay, but when he really is going to cash it, I guess it fails then?
Thank you.
So this happened to me in the bank world, whatever, is that since this is a fluctuating arbitrage, it's called, since this is a fluctuating currency, that time value can change a lot of value. So could you have it that it's not just time, it's also value? Yes, it is. Yeah, you make money on that. It's not a problem. You make a lot of money on that. Yeah. So this going, this finished that. And so what happened was, is that 1 hour can mean, in many cases, a million kroner. And the problem with that is that you're going to have, it's not decentralized because we have to use a central time.
In an onion network, some of the nodes may be compromised, or we might have malicious nodes. So,
thank you. A very stupid question, but is it possible that two individuals or two subjects, let's say I have a secret, I share it with somebody else, and we both activate the path at the same time? Is it possible to do that?
just a quick one. I find the terminology interesting. As I said, I didn't do this stuff for 30 years, and we seem to be mixing up old terminology. But could you use the term computational anonymity? Because in a sense, you can actually calculate the strength of the anonymity. So I would have a...
Yeah, so typically when you have a public key crypto system, from time to time there's the need for a key revocation. Okay, so you lose your private key. So is that an issue that somehow is relevant in this setup, or when you plugged it into the chain, you can kind of just make your private key public and not worry about it? How does that work? Okay, so the lifetime expectancy of the key will kind of determine how often you have to ship. Okay, and then the old key is kind of not useful anymore. Is that okay?